Good morning, Sower Nation. It's Friday. It's going to be a good day today. Who's ready for it? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is May the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We're going to begin this day in consecration, laying ourselves out before the Lord, saying, "Here am I, Jesus. Send me." Let's begin our meeting as we always do. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry, this is part two of three. We got a three-part mini-series on prayer. I'm calling the whole series Taking Off the Training Wheels and Riding the Bike. In our text, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, I'm just going to go with the very first sentence. Hear now the word of the Lord, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Yes, the word of the Lord. Now consider this. Okay, do you remember the day when the training wheels came off and you had to ride the real bike without them? I remember it both in my own experience as a kid and also with my own kids. Dad took me to the dead-end street just across the street from our house. He put one hand on the back of the seat and the other on my hand holding to the handlebar grip. He then began to walk and then slowly run, pushing the bike with me pedaling. And then with a slight shove forward, he let go of the bike. And for a brief second, I felt like I was flying. And then I woke up and realized I was riding the bike unassisted. Next, I panicked and the handlebars wobbled, and I crashed to the pavement. Dad dusted me off, and we walked over to the empty lot by the street, and two runs later, I was a bona fide bike rider. It was totally exhilarating, liberating, and joyful. One of the great miracles of childhood, when the training wheels come off and you're riding the real bike. I think prayer is like this, especially in the sense that we mostly understand prayer for the longest time as riding the bike with training wheels. It still works like a bike, and yet after a while, not really. I mean, we are still pedaling and going places, but once you've ridden the bike with no training wheels, for many reasons, you just can't imagine ever going back to training wheels again. And by prayer as riding the bike with training wheels, what I mean is prayer as the notion of just saying or thinking prayers. It's asking God to do things or to help or intervene because it is a difficult or impossible situation we're facing. And this is okay. It's just not exactly what the Bible means when it talks about prayer. When Jesus talks about prayer, he uses the same term as Paul. Prosukomahi. Prosukomahi. You're learning that one, right? And sometimes, you know, it's good to kind of get past the sort of word that we think we know what it means because we've said it so much, prayer, 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 and say, well, what if the word is not actually prayer? What if it's prosukomahi? It's kind of like, oh, well, I don't really know anything about that. Prosukomahi, what does that mean? That's what the Bible says when it says prayer, prosukomahi, and it kind of can shake us out of our sense of like what we think we know and take us back to this place of like maybe beginner's mind again. I want you to remember the literal meaning of that word, prosukomahi. It means to exchange. It means something like to interact with God by exchanging human wishes for divine ideas through an impartation of faith. I believe this is why in our text yesterday and today and tomorrow, again, we're going to do it again, Paul says, pray in the Spirit. He is talking about riding the bike without the training wheels. In what he calls his first, in what we call his first letter to the Corinthians, we get a deeper glimpse of what I think Paul means when he calls us to pray in the Spirit. He says this, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. That's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 13. Now, hear this little biblical definition of prayer in that light. It means to interact with God by exchanging human wishes for divine ideas through an impartation of faith. Prosukomahi. I think the Holy Spirit's giving us a revelation through Paul of what prayer really is. I want to invite you to pitch a tent with me around this second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let's make camp here. Why? Because I think this is what it looks like when the training wheels come off and we start riding the real bike. Training wheels are what they are. They are good, but many of us need to get past them. Riding the bike is the point. And you know what they say about riding a bike? They say, it's like riding a bike. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we keep leaning in further and asking you to teach us to pray as you pray, in the Spirit and on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Would you bring us back into a kind of beginner's mind in such a way that we could begin to grow deeper in receiving and appropriating your mind, the very mind of Christ. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, just continue with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and open the eyes of our hearts. Illuminate our minds with the mind of Christ. Lead us into the next place of learning to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. We're listening, we're leaning in, we're following, we're longing to enter this way in the next place. Teach us now. We want to exchange our wishes, our thoughts, for your ideas in your mind. This dynamic process of abiding, of communion, of listening and speaking and listening more and beginning to learn to speak words like you speak words. We're just agreeing in this prayer right here, you and me together today. We just want to ride the bike, Lord, to new places and watch you do new things with us, in us, and through us, and each other. In Jesus' name again, amen. Journal prompts today. So what's your learning to ride a bike story? You remember it? And what stands out to you in the 1 Corinthians 2, 9-13 text as you see it in the light of prayer? And then does this training wheels versus riding the real bike example make sense to you? Does it ring true to your experience? And what might it mean and be like to pray with, into, and out of the mind of Christ? Well, Dad's with me today, and we're going to sing. Before we do, I just want to point you to the PS today in the email. I'm just inviting anybody who's not been able to join our spring sewing campaign just to consider that $10 gift. It will do a world of work in the wake-up call. So check that out for me, and let's go over to Dad now. Okay, everybody, we got another day with Dad here in the Seed House studio on the wake-up call.
Amen.
And you know, these days are numbered. All our days are numbered. You may outlast me, I may outlast you, we don't even know, because all the days,
we're not keeping score.
All the Bible says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass.
Amen to that.
Isn't that something?
It is.
So we don't even got to worry about it.
Mm-mm.
We just got to live each day to the full. And that's why we're here singing today, Dad.
That's right. I agree.
Do you know there's thousands and thousands of people out there who are singing with us every day?
I know it, and it's an honor to be a part of that.
I agree. I think we're not the first to do this. We won't be the last, but I don't know that there are many people doing this, leading people to sing hymns every day,
right
at home. I mean, you mostly think of singing hymns at church.
Yeah, once a week.
Which is good, but a lot of churches quit singing hymns. And
well, I'd quit going there.
There you have it. He has voted. Anyway, you don't really sing hymns during the week until now on the wake-up call.
Yeah.
So tell them what we're singing today.
All right, we're going to sing Come Christians Join to Sing.
Come Christians, what's the number?
Well, in this book I'm looking at is page 36.
Number 36.
Yep.
What's the name of the book?
This is the Great Redeemer's Praise.
Our Great Redeemer's Praise.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
There you go. We know where you can get a copy, too. But you can, if you don't, you know, you can just look it up on the internet and get the words to this one. This is a classic old hymn. It's three verses. We'll sing them all. You ready?
I'm ready.
Come, Christians, join to sing. Hallelujah, amen. Lord, praise to Christ the King. Hallelujah, amen. Let all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. Praise to his gracious child. Hallelujah, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Hallelujah, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Hallelujah, amen. He is our God and friend. To us he'll bounty extend. His love shall never end. Hallelujah, amen. Last verse. Praise ye our Christ again. Hallelujah, amen. Life shall not enter strain. Hallelujah, amen. On heaven's blessed shore, his goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Hallelujah, amen. Yeah, you hit that high note. You almost got it. Well, gang, it's Friday, and it's going to be a day where we want to have our ears open and our eyes open and our hearts open and our hands open. We want to go into this day open to what God wants to do in it.
That's right. And, you know, God has a plan for each of us. So we just need to listen for what that plan is and ask him, God, what's the plan for me? I'm David Walt from Dumas, Arkansas. What is my plan? And you know what? It'll come to me.
Yeah. And what a day is a day is when his plan for you and his plan for me and his plan for other people begin to intersect.
Right, and they come together.
They come together, and God is painting a picture out there.
That's right.
We don't know exactly what it'll be. We just need to do our part.
We just need to trust God to
trust
lead
and
us.
Obey.
That's right, trust
there's
and obey.
No other way.
That's a great song. I'll be singing that one.
Maybe we can sing that one tomorrow. Well, that's when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way.
Amen.
When we do his good will, he abides with us still, and to all who will trust and obey. Let's just close it.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But to trust and obey.
He didn't even need the book for that.
Amen.
Well, it's time to let these good folks go. And we got stuff to do. We got work to do. We got seeds to sow. So for The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you
on the field
today.